Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be talking about a subject that I have sort of had a conversation with people about different ways through the years, the good among the great. Donald Vandermark is the gentleman that we have with us today, and he decided he was going to do some research on 19 traits of the most admirable, creative, and joyous people. Donald, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Happy to be here.
Well, you've got quite a background behind you. You have been a reporter. You pioneered business news on television, which is quite an accomplishment. You were the first Washington correspondent for CNBC, and then you worked on shows like Money Week, BizBuzz, Market Wrap, Washington Unwrapped, Entrepreneurs Only. Well, and then you were involved in all kinds of, news-breaking stories that occurred through the years, and you've been involved in series. Now, you're quite an interesting man. With all of this that you've done, why in the world did you decide that you needed to really take the time, number one, to interview people, but also to look at what you consider the 19 most desirable traits? I mean, you've done so much. Why was this important to you?
Well, it was important on a personal basis, and I can get to that later if we want to talk about that. But it was fascinating to me in a professional sense because I had interviewed so many politicians and then so many CEOs and then so many finance wizards on Wall Street. And then I came out to California and I was interviewing all these great technology entrepreneurs. And every once in a while, I would come across someone who was really just a marvelous person, too. Not just a smart, focused, driven, ambitious, capable, organized person, but someone who was just wonderful. And their staff loved them. And their accomplishments endured over time. And they opened up personally and would talk about their childhoods. They would talk about their personal philosophies on life and success and failure and money and all the rest of it. And I wanted to know more about them. I thought, how do these good guys finish first? They remind me of my favorite friend's parents when I was a kid. I mean, how do they do it? What's the difference? And lo and behold, they would talk, and they would talk, and after a while I realized they sounded the same. There were a lot of the same themes. There were a lot of the same messages. They would even use some of the same old phrases and anecdotes to try and encapsulate their thinking. So I had created a list myself, and I was with this little web and television media company that we had launched during the dot-com craze, and the editorial division was what I was responsible for, and it was about personal and professional development. And after a while, I went to my partners and I said, we need to focus in on these 15 or 16 traits, because this is what the greatest people are all about. This is what I'm learning. And then I started reading Abraham Maslow. Now, Donna, you've probably heard of him, the great 20th century psychologist.
Mm-hmm. I have heard of Abraham Maslow, yes.
Right. And the most distinguishing factor about Maslow, anyone who's ever studied Psych 101, they hear about Abraham Maslow because he created the hierarchy of needs. You first have to have food and shelter, and then you need love, and then you need a certain amount of acceptance and self-esteem. And then if you have all these things, then you get to move on to reaching your full potential, which comes from within. Well, Maslow focused on the healthiest among us psychologically. Mm-hmm. He said, and he wrote a book called Motivation and Personality. He wrote several books, and you should read all of them. But Motivation and Personality is the one in which he writes about 19 specific personality traits of the people he considered reaching their full potential, the healthiest among us. And I thought, there's a book. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got to the book, and I labored over it for 11 years.
Oh, my goodness. 11 years?
Yeah. Now, I was sidetracked. Yeah. I had to make a living, and I got, the rest of your life, comes in and takes over your time. But I was thinking about it all the time, and I was writing and rewriting it all the time. I was trying to convince others to get excited about it the whole time. And then about 18 months ago, I got very serious. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really finished it. I did about a third of it in the last 18 months.
Well, let's talk about a few of the people that you have mentioned in your book. I mean, you should see your book. It's got all kinds of yellow highlighted sections here. And as I'm going through it, you mention Meryl Streep, who I just love as an actress. And when she played Julia Childs, I thought, boy, that's the epitome, because Julia Childs is just such a difficult role to play. But she's such a good character actress. And one of the points that you brought out about her is that what you see is what you get. You are not going to, in a way, she reminds me of Katharine Hepburn. She doesn't need to put on a facade because she's just herself. What was the quality about Meryl that you liked so much?
Well, I'll tell you. Meryl Streep, I had written the transcript, and I sent it off to a friend of mine who lives in Connecticut. And she read it through for me, and she gave me a number of ideas. And she said, you know, the way you describe this person, the overall person, really reminds me of Meryl Streep. And I thought, you're right. There's a friend of mine named Annie Stiers Carter. And I said, Annie, you're absolutely right. And she said, you know, and the funny thing is that she is one of my best friend's sisters-in-law. I said, really? And I said, well, what does she say about her? And she said, she says that she's the best aunt to her children.
Mm-hmm.
And at every family reunion, she's always the first person to help with the dishes, always pitching in a good egg, you know, someone that when you're on a family break, she's one of the first people you want to talk to and get back together again with. And mm-hmm. I thought to myself, that's worth all the Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. But then what I did, it was about that time that Vanity Fair ran the cover story. It was December 09. And it was a wonderful cover story. And, of course, the way that the popular press focuses on things, they were focused on Meryl Streep's box office clout and how exciting that a middle-aged woman was the person driving the biggest ticket sales. It wasn't the kids or the great machismo men stars. It was Meryl Streep, who was 60, I think, at that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And but buried in that story were all of these different people's descriptions of Meryl Streep, directors, other actors, producers, others, and they were all describing these different facets of her personality. And, of course, there were all the traits laid out by all these various people, not knowing that this is the kind of description that Maslow would have given her. And so I then started digging up Meryl Streep. You can't get an interview with Meryl Streep, and one reason is she prizes her privacy, which happens to be one of the traits in the book. So you can't get to Meryl Streep, but there is a website run by her management company, which lists all of these commencement addresses she's given, a lot of the interviews that she's done overseas as well as here, a lot of the remarks that she's made on these awards programs, and in those, they're tumbling out of her own mouth, again, are the traits about being private, about being empathic or empathetic to other human beings, how important that is. All sorts of things, and I thought, well, I haven't interviewed her, but I'm going to make her the epilogue of this book because she has demonstrated on the public stage for all to see for decades all of these marvelous traits.
I agree. Now, I want to talk about a lady whose name I just love, Pussy. I think Pussy is just so special. I love that name. I thought, I would love to know how Pussy got to be given that name, you know, what the background is for that name. But it's Pussy Orr.
Yes.
And one of the traits is a loving personality. Let's talk about Pussy, because she, one, the name just captivated me, but
right.
Two, she is captivating.
Well, it's one of those nicknames that stuck. When she was an infant, she had two older sisters who were quite a bit older than she, I think like 9 and 12 years older, and they carried her around in a papoose. So it stuck. She started being called Pussy, just as this little tiny thing, and it stuck throughout the rest of her life. Her real name is Paula, but she is just a Pittsburgh grandmother, and she's a great. I've known her my entire life because all four of her children are old, dear friends of mine, and she is just a great, great mom. And she treats me as if she's my mom, and she's in the book because she enunciated intuitively. She hadn't read Maslow, but I started talking to her about her children, about her ideas about rearing children, parenting, her relationship with her husband, her relationship with her own parents, her relationship with all of her dear friends, how she thought about all these different things, and tumbling out of her are all of these Maslow ideas about how you treat people, how you have to be flexible, and how you shouldn't be a helicopter parent, you know, which is the way people are parenting now. They're involved in their children's lives all day long, all week long, right all the way into college. And she totally debunked that. And it was very interesting because Maslow, one of the things he says about marvelous human beings is that they have deep, deep, intense, loving relationships, but only with a few people. Mm-hmm. Not with dozens and dozens. For them, love is so intense and requires such commitment and energy and thought and care. You can't have it with 50 people. It can only be with 6 or 8 or 10. So you have it with your spouse, you have it with your children, you may have it with your parents, you have it with just a few dear friends. And that's the way Poozy thought about it too. And more important even than that from Poozy was this notion of respect for the person you love, even if it's a child. And that is pure Maslow. He said that really marvelous people treat children with more respect than most of us. And the reason is that they see through superficial differences like age, like race, like sex, like status in the world. They treat everyone with a big dollop of respect. And so, because they know they can learn from all of them. So anyway, it just goes on and on, and Poozy is this marvelous, loving, wonderful character. She's a little embarrassed by the attention she's getting and her inclusion in the book next to Meryl Streep and Bill Bradley and Dr. Andrew Weil and all these famous characters, but I know also it's very gratifying to her. And it's important that the people who read the book and your listeners know that there are marvelous, admirable, creative, joyous people everywhere. They don't have to be CEOs and senators. They may just be the librarian down the street or your child's favorite teacher. They're out there.
Oh, I agree. I think of the people that I've had the privilege of knowing that would never, ever be written up in a major publication. It just didn't happen. They didn't have what you would call the dynamics of life that are going to put out the newspaper special or the magazine special. That's just not it. But they had so many of the qualities that you speak of in your book, and one of which I want to address. And I think of a high school teacher I had by the name of Mrs. White, and she epitomized this. You have in here your chapter on one of the positive traits, ethics, being ethical. Sharon Watkins is the person you wrote about. But I'm telling you that I remember my high school teacher having such clarity. Whenever she would interact with us, there was such a sense of honesty and integrity about what she said that you just knew that what this woman said to you was not made up. This wasn't something she was fabricating. She had her facts together. This is the way you did things. This is why you did them. She was very clear. Sharon Watkins is a woman that you wrote about, and she had a special thing that started in January 2002. She's an accountant from Texas. Why did you write about Sharon?
Well, because she had to make a choice between a high-powered, high-paying position at a major corporation, which was getting all sorts of attention and supposedly making millions and millions and hundreds of millions and billions of dollars. She had to choose between that very privileged position and what she knew to be the truth, which was an accounting fraud. And she chose the truth. And she had the strength of character and the clarity, as you talk about Mrs. White, the clarity of understanding what was right and wrong and what really mattered to her. And so she blew the whistle on a company called Enron. And that company came crashing down, and it brought down all sorts of other people, including the accounting firm of Arthur Andersen, all those good people working away in that firm. They're all tarnished by this terrible scandal going on in Texas. But what Maslow wrote about really marvelous people is that they don't suffer the chaos around ethical, moral questions, honesty questions, that so many of the rest of us do. We see the world subjectively. And so we can't help but try and see things in a kind of a slanted way in our own favor. She doesn't do that. And really marvelous people have great integrity. And by integrity, I mean that their personalities are integrated tightly. They are the same person, basically, to everyone. They see the world in a much more objective, realistic way than the rest of us. And so they don't make the mistakes. They do see the pitfalls that the rest of us fall into. They see them and sidestep them. And it's more important than even that. If you tackle each of these little questions every day, are you going to be truthful with your spouse or your daughter? Are you going to, you know, shade your expense report to earn a few extra dollars? Are you going to cheat just a wee bit on your taxes? All the rest of that stuff. Those are all choices about how big a person you are, how true, and whether or not you're on a growth path. Now, this is a quote from Maslow on this issue. This is in a book he wrote called The Farther Reaches of Human Nature. Maslow goes on to write, self-actualization, this is real psychological health, is an ongoing process. It means making each of the many single choices about whether to lie or be honest, whether to steal or not to steal. And it means to make each of these choices as a growth choice. In other words, self-actualization, this is me now talking, or true psychological health, is not just about morals, it's about growth. Your life, in other words, Donna, is a trajectory. It's nothing is ever static. We've learned that from Einstein and others. But your life is a trajectory. So all of these little choices that we make about how we behave, they alter that little trajectory, up or down.
Mm-hmm.
And it will pay off down the road. Life is about proceeds. The proof is not in the pudding or in the tasting of the pudding. It's in the proceeds. If your life is not succeeding, then you are not doing something right. If your job isn't going as well as you'd like, you're doing something wrong. So anyway, there are ways to know when you're off the wrong path, off the right path, rather.
I like what you have in here that Maslow apparently had put into written form. The vast majority of human beings do not make up their own minds. They are pawns to be moved by others rather than self-moving, self-determining individuals. Therefore,
yes,
they're apt to feel helpless, weak, and totally determined. They are prey for predators, flabby whiners, rather than self-determining, responsible persons. We have, that would fit so many people that are really in the news today.
Oh,
and have
isn't
been
that
in
true?
The news for quite a while. And you look at this, and it is so discouraging to so many people because they say, boy, if this is representative of leadership, if this is representative of social behaviors, what are we coming to? And it's, I think it's healthy that it's out in the open myself. It's better to have it out in the open where the truth is really seen rather than to cover it up with peanut butter and jelly symptoms because it doesn't work. But I look at this, and one of the things that a friend of yours by the name of Jim Armstrong said,
mm-hmm,
that television is an open sewer into your living room. And I thought, boy, is that an apt description. By the time you get through watching all the pharmaceutical ads and all of the different things that go on, it's amazing. It's almost like a hypnotic programming that goes on.
I couldn't agree with you more about the hypnosis.
Right.
And you get to the end of the evening and you're sort of dulled. It's not as if you've done anything terribly uplifting or even exhausting. You're just dulled. You're sitting there. I remember as a kid, if no one noticed, I'd be watching television until 3 or 4 in the morning until I fell asleep because the
right
thing would hypnotize me.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do.
Oh, they
a
do.
Lot of people fall asleep in front of the television and it's going on and on and on. And I'll never forget a Lebanese lady that I knew years ago, and she said that always bothered her because she said, you're taking in all of this stuff that's going out through the television, and it's going into your subconscious, and you have absolutely no control over it. This was a very wise lady. She was in her 70s, and she was very astute. She would be very concerned about her family members. So that little remark I had to bring out in your book. Now, being detached, this is a tough one.
Yes.
Because so many people are indoctrinated that they are supposed to be sympathetic to everything that goes on in life, whatever goes on around them, and they're to absorb it. And I can't tell you as a counselor how many people I have met through the years that didn't realize that they could be more effective if they were empathetic and detached rather than being sympathetic and wallowing in a pity pot environment for someone else. And you address this, and Mary Cunningham is
yes
the woman you referred to. Tell us about Mary.
Mary Cunningham is a dear, dear friend of mine. I've known her my entire life. She's my other mother, if you will. My own mother would call her that. She was one of my best friend's moms growing up, and she was a marvelous, marvelous mom. But what was striking about her was she was kind of a cool cat. She was very straightforward, very no-nonsense, but also very, very loving, always supportive. Just the most marvelous, graceful woman. And she has suffered in her life three terrible things. One of them was her daughter, Melinda, who's also in the book, had her first baby, was married, had her first baby. This is back in 1993, I think was the year. And she was very sick, really sick. And she was in the hospital, and they were diagnosing her for everything, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And eventually, they realized, they tested for HIV, and she had full-blown AIDS.
Oh, my goodness.
Very scary. In 1993, it was a death sentence. And the doctors, in fact, in Colorado at the time, told her, you're going to die. You may only have 3 months, 5 months to live, something like that. Now, the whole family, it's amazing, the Cunninghams, are so cool and calm. They immediately got to work finding out where the best research was going on, which university, which hospital facility, what connections did they have through college and friends and elsewhere in the medical community. They scrambled trying to find where to get Melinda into some sort of program, and they did. Melinda's alive today, and they can't even find the HIV virus in her bloodstream.
Amazing.
And her daughter's fine. Her little baby at the time has grown up to be absolutely fine and is not infected with HIV, and sometimes mothers do transmit it to their daughters. But that was one thing that Mary Cunningham, as the mom, went through and sailed through it in many respects, at least on an emotional basis. The other thing is she now has advanced Parkinson's disease.
Oh,
and this beautiful, athletic woman can barely walk, and only when the meds are just tuned just right at a certain point during the day can she speak with any coherence. And she's had to deal with that. She's never complained. Her family says no. She's just no. And she's never asked why me. It's just amazing. The other issue is when she was in her 40s, a burglar got into her house and raped her at gunpoint.
Mm.
And the amazing thing is, she cooked dinner that night for her family. She kept her husband from going crazy with anger and grief about it. And the police caught the guy, and she went to court and testified against him and sent him away to prison for 3 years. And the family has been completely just open about it. It's a terrible thing. We're not victims, and we're not shamed about this. This is just a terrible crime, and we've done the best we can. And I know from the bottom of my heart there's no residual issues. This is a person who's cool, calm, and a little bit detached, even from her own emotions. And it's been an enormous well of strength, of resilience for her. And it's a great lesson to the rest of us.
I agree. You have here in your book also a comment that there's a Buddhist teaching that suggests that life is a lot like falling off of a cliff. Some people live their lives in terror, clutching at every rock and branch on the way down. Others accept their mortality and make the most of the time they have, especially since they don't really know how much time they have or where their fall may ultimately land them. And I thought that was a very profound story to share, because it is a teaching. It's one that there's really no such thing as an absolute safe place in life. And so many times we become so frightened of what we fear, and it may be imagined, maybe not, that we don't move. We just don't do anything. We don't go anywhere. And it really takes a willingness to step outside the box and say, it's okay. It's okay. Let me try something different. Let me do something different. Let me discover something new about myself. Your book is loaded with so many wonderful, wonderful stories. And I like your quotes from Chief Seattle that you have in here. You've got Andy Grove, the co-founder of Intel. You have so many absolutely fabulous stories and so many points that we need to be reminded of, I think. And these are qualities that anyone can develop and cultivate. And I think in growing up and becoming adult, if you will, part of the journey is doing what you mentioned earlier. That is making choices, going through the result of those choices and experiences, dealing with them, and deciding whether you're going to grow with them or whether you're going to hide from the person you really are. And it really is a journey, as you said. What's your website, Donald, where people can go and find out more about your book and the other things, the wonderful things that you've done?
Well, it's donaldvandermark.com. It's all my name just smushed together into one word. My last name is VANDEMARK, donaldvandermark.com. And I'm writing on a fairly regular basis there, so there's more stuff in there. Periodically in the news or somehow, there's someone who jumps out at me as someone who has all the traits, demonstrates them, and everyone should know about this person. So there's, for instance, this great aristocrat in England who was written up in the New York Times. I can't remember her name at the moment, but she basically married into this very, very aristocratic family. She herself was of, you know, high-born nature, but nonetheless, she never expected to become the lady of this great, great family, but she did because her brother-in-law was killed in World War II. Her husband becomes the lord of the manor, but he also becomes an alcoholic, and she has to take over the running of this huge estate, this hugely expensive house. She overhauls everything, the finances, handles all the taxes and all the legal ramifications, and then is a marvelous and egalitarian person. Here she is, born an aristocrat. She marries someone who's even more of an aristocrat. She ascends to, you know, a duchy. She becomes a duchess, and yet the way that she's described in this interview, American tourists coming through this house and all the rest, she is as egalitarian as you can be, and that is one of the wonderful traits of marvelous people. They don't put people on pedestals, and they don't grind others under their heel. They treat everyone with this healthy dose of respect. Donna, I can't help but go back to what you were talking about earlier about having a self-directed life. That's trait number one in the book. Maslow taught, and I call it being autonomous. So really marvelous people they chart their own path. They are their own persons. They don't let their bosses or their parents or their whomever, the zeitgeist, if you will, that television set, barrading us with messages about who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to buy, where we're supposed to live, all the rest of it, what our morals are supposed to be. They don't let that infect the true blue nature of themselves. They are who they are, because it comes from within. As Bill Bradley says, the externals of your life ought to reflect the internals, not the other way around. So I'm glad you mentioned that, and I wanted to underline it.
Well, Donald, it's been a delight. For those of you listening, his wonderful book is called The Good Among the Great, 19 Traits of the Most Admirable, Creative, and Joyous People. Donald Vandermark has been my guest. Thank you so much for being with me today. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you. as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open if you'd like to give me a buzz. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. And, of course, then I always like to know where you're calling in from. And let me tell you what I perceive about you, what's going on in your life, etc. And then you're welcome, if you so desire, to ask me a question. So give me a call at 888-815-9756. I wanted to share with you quickly a story that is about Donald. We ran out of time, but I wanted to share this with you because he talks about himself in the book. And he said, showing respect for someone is what we should do, just as a matter of courtesy, right? It's good manners. Well, he happened to be going to a school in Newport, Rhode Island, and the food in the cafeteria was so bad, it was just so terrible, that there was a Miss Pierce, and he describes her as an aging mouse of a woman who was the school dietitian. Well, one day, one of his favorite teachers, whose name was Robin Rogers, came by and overheard him and just in a very loud, firm tone of voice said, "Van DeMark, come here." Got him out of earshot of everybody that was in the cafeteria. And he just absolutely let Donald have it. He said, "Don't you understand that the measure of a gentleman is not how well he treats his superiors, but how well he treats his subordinates?" So Donald got an early lesson on some of the things that we all have to learn. That is a part of what the older generation is supposed to be able to teach the younger generation, because that's the only way appropriate behavior and really maturity can be shown and shared. And so when he put this book together, The Good Among the Great, there are a lot of wonderful things in here. And you know what? You may look at this and read it and will say, "Wow, I'm like that person." And that is not a bad thing to recognize. Someone once said to me many, many years ago that often what you perceive about other people is a mirror back of what you perceive about yourself. If you can appreciate the beauty of someone, their particular talents and abilities, that means that you are capable of that within yourself. Now, that may sound a little strange to someone hearing that for the first time. They'll say, "No, that's not me. I'm not a beautiful person. I don't have talents like that person has." But you see, you can't recognize what you're not capable of understanding, really. It's sort of like learning math. You have to learn what the numbers represent. You have to be able to see and understand how they go together, how they work, why they're valuable to know. Well, if you don't have a good example, you're really not going to be able to share very much with anyone, because all you have is what you have had the experience of or are aware of. But if you walk into an environment and you find something and you go, "Wow, that is awesome," there is a part of you, maybe you may not have the education of that person, maybe you haven't walked their life's experience, but when you look at something or the way someone's speaking or the way that they're acting, you're able to recognize that because that is inside of you. And if you don't believe me, just be with some people sometimes and take them maybe to a museum and say, "Wow, isn't that a beautiful piece of art?" And someone may look at it, and it could be an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous piece of art. Meticulously done, just absolutely awesome. And maybe it's a fruit and plates and wine glasses. And you admire the elegance of that wonderful, wonderful piece of art. Someone with you said, All I see is a glass of wine and a couple of slices of cheese. And you look at them and you go, don't they see the light in that picture? Don't they see the delicacy of color? You try to explain it to that person, they won't see it. All they see is that glass of wine and the slice of cheese. That's all. And that's the way people are. So when you are able to recognize something, when you are able to have an empathy with animals, when you're able to be caring about the elderly, when you are working with young people and you recognize this wonderful energy that they have that has the need of being channeled in constructive ways, when you look at nature and you just are in awe at what nature does in her own way without any help from her friends, if you will, human beings, and you just look and you observe, you become alive with the awareness that there's a lot inside of you that's there willing to be expressed. So it's always good to read stories about people, biographies of different types, paradigms of thinking. It enables you to grow into a greater part of yourself. It's amazing, the wonderful parts of you that you have not yet even discovered. Who knows, maybe one day you'll write a book too. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. I came across this story by Dorothy Schooner, and I just had to share it because I thought it was so cute. She said a client's dog had lapped up a bunch of antifreeze. Now, Dorothy was working for a veterinarian, and the vet ordered an IV drip mixing fluids with vodka. So he told the client that he needed some vodka. Well, Dorothy said, well, I'll go get it. So she was having to look for and find the cheapest vodka she possibly could get. And she, when she came up to the clerk, she had bought the alcohol. It was early in the day when this happened, because this was an emergency situation, and she had gotten there right when the doors opened, and so here she is buying the vodka, and she feels so badly about being doing this. So she's telling the clerk, believe it or not, this is for a sick dog. Well, after she paid for everything and she was leaving, the next customer, right behind her, plunked down two bottles of Muscatel and announced, these are for my cat. I just couldn't pass that one up. Can you imagine? That really made her day. Anyway, Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. I wanted to share with you today, since we were talking about people, good people, earlier in the first part of the show, so many times when people get older, they're written off. And it makes me very angry, because an older individual doesn't mean that they're ready for the junk heap. For heaven's sakes, they have got so much that they've experienced in life, and they really should be appreciated and utilized because of their years of experience and knowledge. They don't know it all, but they certainly have been on the road of life for a heck of a lot longer than youngsters have been, and they've been through a lot of ups and downs. Well, Pam Sloan is a woman that I wanted to talk about today, and she lives in Old Greenwich, Connecticut, and she works with schools. And what does she do with them? Well, she's involved in their school garden program. Now, she's a French teacher, and she was offered a chance to put together a small garden on the school grounds in 2008. She loved it, so she said, you bet, I'll be glad to do this. And she sort of went overboard when she was doing it. She ended up putting in more than 20 different fruits, vegetables, and herbs, including strawberry and tomato plants, potatoes, and parsley. And she said the students were helping her, and if anyone came by and said, hey, here, I've got a packet of seeds, she said, we just plant them. And she said when the plants grew, the tall plants shielded the short ones from the sun. Regardless, with all of this enthusiasm and hard work, it was a big success. And the food from the gardening harvest was divided between the kids and their families and the school's kitchen. Now, Sloan went an extra step. Remember, she's a woman of mature years. She's 67, but it doesn't mean she's decrepit. The next thing she did, she was teaching cooking classes with the very foods that were grown. She said the middle schoolers that were involved in this just got so excited because some of them had been involved in working on this garden and they were seeing the results of their hard work. So she saw such enthusiasm from the youngsters that she launched the Green Initiative for Vegetables in Education. It is abbreviated with the word GIVE, G-I-V-E. And it started last year. Do you know it has spread to schools in the area? 20 schools contacted her when they found out about her program. She is the director of the Green Initiative for Vegetables in Education, and she said she helps them plot their seed beds, helps them hunt down those vendors that perhaps can supply them with discounted materials, whatever they might need. City and local tree services donate and deliver compost and wood chips, and there's a lot of people that are just thrilled to be able to donate to something like this. A lot of people have told this dynamic lady, Pam Sloan, that if she hadn't started GIVE, their school garden wouldn't have happened. And Sloan grew up working on a farm, so she knew a great deal about what to do. She had lived it. In fact, that probably was one of the ways she earned money, which I think is a great thing. She said it's all about helping kids understand how important it is to appreciate what the land does for us so that we are able to eat well and what we need to do to take care of it. Now, if you'd like to find out more about this wonderful project, you can go to greentowns.com. There's a number of other projects, green projects, that are going on, and it may be one just right in your own neighborhood. So check out greentowns.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break, and don't forget those telephone lines are open if you'd like to chat with me. I'll light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight if you so desire. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone line, if you would like to give me a buzz, is 888-815-9756. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about Pottinger's Prophecy. And this is especially significant because we're going to be discovering how food can reset genes for wellness. Now, we hear frequently how we must pay attention to the foods that we eat, but we need to know why this makes a difference. And so we'll be finding out more about that tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Dan Griffin. His book is titled A Man's Way Through the 12 Steps, Helping Men Recover. Men, when it comes to addiction, have a very different perspective with the way that they look at life and with what life is doing in their environment. And so dealing with this is very significant, and this book is excellent because it deals with a male's perspective. And I think that that is so important. And then on Friday, 101 Great Ways to Enhance Your Career. Michelle Ricklin is my guest on Friday, and wow, are we going to have some wonderful things to share with you. So tell your friends, come and join us. We'd love to have you as a part of the Donna Sebo Show. And don't forget, you can give me a buzz if you so desire at 888-815-9756. Summertime. Here we are, the official first day of summer. And so many of us are going to want to go out, be in the woods, camp, do all kinds of things. Well, I want you to be aware of something. Be sure you wear the right kind of garb whenever you're out in the woods or in certain areas of country where ticks prevail. It's very important because Lyme disease is something that's very real. We have a member in our family that ended up getting bitten by a tick. It took them quite a while to figure out what was affecting the individual, and they found out it was Lyme disease. But there's another thing that comes along with it. Ticks apparently have other diseases, and I had never heard of babesiosis and ehrlichiosis, and it comes on like Lyme disease. You get fever, headache, muscle and joint pain, but if your immune system is compromised, they've had a mortality rate of about 20%. So if you get treated for Lyme disease and still have a fever, make sure your doctor considers other tick-borne diseases. The risk of infection is highest in spring and summer. Be sure that you check yourself. If you have children, check them and your pets because it can affect them as well. Also, another health item that I wanted to share with you today was laser risk. Now, that sort of surprised me when I came across this information, but apparently, among young people, using lasers in one form or another, even if they're very mild, they are not such a good thing. Now, this is what they came out with. Christine Negroni did some research, and in fact, she published an article in the New York Times that you can buy laser pointers online that are powerful enough to cause eye damage in a microsecond. Now, who would have thought that would have been something you would even have to be concerned about? Well, it is something to be concerned about. Kids try all kinds of stuff. There is a retina specialist, Robert G. Josenberg, who is in Valhalla, New York, and said that he had a patient that had a blind spot in one eye. A friend of this patient had waved a laser pointer in this individual's face. Dr. Josenberg went online and found he could quickly buy a 100 milliwatt green laser pointer, though the FDA limit is 5 milliwatts. He said, this is not something to take lightly. People need to remember the dangers of looking directly at any laser, a pointer, or even a laser toy. So this is something that one needs to be aware of. And my goodness, with kids, they often just don't have a clue. I forget what it was somebody was telling me about recently that kids were using, and it's a common item, household item, and I thought, what are these kids thinking of? They were sniffing it or doing something with it. I don't remember what it was, but it was just absolutely amazing to me. By the way, I wanted to share with you something for a summer meal. This is a spinach salad with strawberries and blue cheese with a lemony Dijon mustard dressing. Now, this is a time of the year when we want to be out and about. We really don't want a lot of heavy foods. When it gets warm, the human body automatically doesn't want to be burdened with heavy foods. You want something light and flavorful so that you can enjoy yourself and be about the activities of whatever brings joy into your life. So I thought I'd share this recipe with you. It's real simple. For your dressing, what you're going to need is 3 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, 3 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, 1 small shallot, finely minced, a juice of 1/2 lemon. It's going to be about 1 tablespoon of fresh juice. You're going to need 1 teaspoon of Dijon mustard, 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper, and 1/2 cup of olive oil. And then, of course, the salad. Baby spinach. So you're going to need about 8 cups of that. That's about 5 ounces of spinach. You have volumes of it. It really is not much at all. 1 1/2 cups of fresh strawberries, about 1/2 pound worth. And you want to cut them lengthwise into thin slices. Then you want 3 ounces of blue cheese cut into thin slices and 1/4 cup of thinly sliced almonds. And you can toast them, if you like, in a pan, a dry pan, until they're golden brown. And those add a yummy crunch. This is how simple it is. Your vinegar, your shallot, your lemon juice, mustard, salt, and pepper. Put it in a small bowl and slowly whisk in your olive oil. Voila! You've got your dressing. In a large bowl, put your spinach, strawberries, and then toss it with enough dressing to coat it lightly, about 1/4 cup. And then arrange your greens on the salad plates, topped with blue cheese slices and sprinkled with the almonds. My goodness, this is a wonderful, wonderful dish. If you want it to go with a steak or any of your favorite meats, however, whatever you want to prepare out on the grill, but it also makes a wonderful, light meal if that's all you want, maybe for lunch or for dinner. It's just really great with freshly made iced tea and a luscious dessert. Can't go wrong. Spinach salad with strawberries and blue cheese. Yum. Well, I know we are just about out of time. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about Pottinger's. Yes, Pottinger's. Excuse me, I didn't pronounce it right. Pottinger's prophecy. Now, this is involving science as well as the practical aspect of life, and so I think you're going to find it fascinating. Tomorrow, I do want to make sure that we talk about Windows. I've learned about some new programs that Windows offers that can really make a difference in what you do with your PC. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always you're the master of your fate, the captain of your soul, wherever you are. Appreciate the greatness that is within you and know that it's there, meant to be developed so that it'll shine in its finest way possible. It'll just be you, beaming all the time. Donna Sebo here. Have a magnificent day or evening, wherever you might be. We'll be talking with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.